every time I open my phone or check a news headline, there's a new college that has mobilized hundreds of its students to occupy the campus space in solidarity with Gaza.
I feel like they're not being heard because Columbia is a for-profit institution and it's prioritizing profit above the students' needs. They need to be the mediators of peace, and they are the mediators of injustice and aggression.
I mean, it feels like this is the call for our generation. This, I think, represents so much to college students standing in elite institutions, which benefit so often from complicity and investments in war, in the oppression of people across the world. Like, we all understand how inextricably connected we are to the oppression of other people. Even just sitting on our college campuses learning, that's what that learning has enabled for us.
If you're trying to make sense of what is happening on college campuses, Sarah Rive, a senior at Princeton University, offers a perspective that is rooted in her lived experience, one that is rarely captured in the headlines. Sarah describes this as a generation-defining moment. For her, it is one deeply informed by her spiritual formation as a young Jewish woman. I'm Umbreen Khan, and this is Inspired by Interfaith Voices. Like many young people of Gen Z, Sarah was not raised in a particularly religious household.
I didn't grow up so religious, you know. I grew up in a more, like, culturally observant family.
But unlike many of her peers, Sarah set out to cultivate and discover her own Jewish identity and was drawn to the rituals of faith.
Religion and Judaism is something that I really came into and adopted on my own because I was drawn to the religious practice and to, like, the ability to express my culture. And being religiously Jewish has meant a lot to me, and especially as I've, like, become a young adult.
I spoke to her by Zoom from her college dorm room at Princeton University. As Sarah's religious journey into Judaism deepened, she discovered a political expectation.
It's something that is, like, completely and inextricably connected in practice with religious nationalism. And that's something that I've really experienced, like, as a kid growing up in casual ways. And, like, I spent time in Israel because I wanted to learn more about Judaism. Israel is connected in every single way to the religious practice of Judaism nowadays. And in that way, sometimes it feels really impossible to practice Judaism without a certain level of cognitive or emotional dissonance, you know?
What do you mean by that?
When you show up in religious Jewish spaces as somebody who is an anti-Zionist or who doesn't support the state of Israel, full stop, you have to suppress and hide that part of your identity in order to be a part of that community, to show up every day, like, and practice with the rest of your community. I mean, this is something I really experienced as, like, a student at Princeton. That's why sometimes it's so special to have political affiliation communities within the Jewish community, where, you know, like, you can show up as a Jewish person and not have to say a prayer for the state of Israel every time you pray, or, you know, like, these little small things that are just ingrained into the daily life of being Jewish.
It sounds like it's a struggle at times for you around feeling like you can be authentically present.
Yeah, I mean, it's been really hard. And at certain points, I've just had to say, like, I'm not going to practice religiously the way I used to want to, because being Jewish, being religious, is about being a part of community. And sometimes it feels too difficult to walk into the Hillel or the like the temple and see people's eyes on you and know that they really disrespect you and really honestly loathe you for your political views.
How is your family?
This isn't really something I speak about with them that often. I'm trying to keep the peace, and they grew up the post, like my great aunts, great uncles, they're the post-Holocaust generation. They grew up seeing Israel come together in a way that has made them incredibly defensive of the country, you know, their whole entire lives. Sometimes you just choose peace, you know?
And it sounds like you're trying to also be very sensitive, but it sounds like you also might be feeling a little bit alone.
Sometimes it can feel really a bit like that, but honestly, there are a lot of Jewish people who are just like me. You know, I have a really strong community here at Princeton, the Alliance of Jewish Progressives. The people there have like really meant a lot to me in my time. There's a lot of non-Zionist, anti-Zionist Jewish organizing that I think is developing into its own type of Jewish community, its own type of religious expression. I think it's really made me reflect a lot on just how closely tied religion and politics are in ways that we don't confront and don't see and don't admit until an extraordinary moment forces of us to.
As a self-identified Jewish student, as someone who's known to be Jewish, you describe the experience when you go into a Hillel or you go into other environments where your position and your opposition to Zionism generates or provokes a reaction.
Well, walking into a space like a Hillel, often it brings up just a lot of fear for me. Not because I really fear the genuine anger, but it's a fear that, you know, you really don't belong when the institution takes a hard line. They have the flag up. They have a political motivation underlying their support, their financial support of Jewish communities on campuses. And if that Hillel was to stop supporting Israel, the funding would be gone. There's things like that that I think affect a lot of people I know, some more than me.
What you're describing is something that most of us may not even see.
Yeah, I think about the money a lot, to be honest, because the Jewish community at Princeton is incredibly robust. It thrives and it's beautiful. And I think a lot of it is supported by generous donations from donors, grants from different Jewish organizations. It takes a lot of hard work and it takes a lot of money to have the kind of well-supported, well-nurtured community we have. And really, in the last, since October 7th, I've realized just how much of it hinges on a political motivation. Just the idea that protecting Jewish communities on a college campus is inextricably connected to protecting the Jewish state. It's, you know, some sort of something I think that Jewish people take a pride in, that, you know, Am Yisrael Chai, we're all one nation and we all protect one another. And when you're in it, that's a beautiful motto and a beautiful manifesto, that we take care of one another and that it has a political meaning. And then when you take a step outside of it and understand that that motto also is what has been supporting a religious nationalist and like occupation project for 70 years, and that manifesto is the thing affecting the lives of Palestinians across the West Bank and Gaza, who like can't travel, they can't have access to medical care, they live their lives in fear, and suddenly you realize your fun activity on your college campus, like what is behind it, you know?
Mm. one thing that we're seeing in the headlines is a real focus on denunciations that these solidarity events are anti-Semitic, that they inherently create an unsafe environment for Jewish students. You're a Jewish student. How do you react to those portrayals or that narrative?
It's honestly, it's a bizarre experience to see how much anti-Semitism has become a political tool and a political weapon. Who has ever cared this much about Jewish safety ever in the world? When did Republicans start caring about this idea of Jewish safety so much? Not to discount the ways that my friends and Jewish peers have felt unsafe and been harassed, but it is bizarre to see how the concept of your safety becomes a political tool that is so blatantly used over and over again to justify suppression of political dissent on campuses, to keep people from saying Free Palestine. And an example that really just jarred me was that they were running an election for a alumni trustee for the senior class. You know, we're graduating, someone can be on the alumni board. It's real, real exciting for them. And one guy, he's a conservative figure on campus, his number one platform for being our alumni trustee was protecting Jewish safety on campus. It just was so absolutely shocking that, you know, like, the idea of your community safety is really just becoming a political keyword. Once protecting Jewish safety becomes a political tool, what does it really mean? It really doesn't make me feel safe. It makes the idea of anti-Semitism all the more precarious. It's interesting to see people I know become politically aligned with far-right Christian nationalists. But religious voices have a lot of sway within the Jewish community, you know? If you're religious, you're really for it, you know? And it's easy to be discounted.
Sarah, thank you so much for sharing your reflections and for opening up.
It's a good day to stand for Palestine. You know, I'm going to go after this and go join the solidarity encampment in the middle of campus.
Sarah, there's a lot of concern about the chants that are being heard at these rallies, some describing them as anti-Semitic. How do they make you feel?
You know, there's a lot of chants that Jewish people have been taught to be afraid of, like, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. And when I hear something like that, I chant it loud, because we need to be the people who accept a vision of Palestinian freedom the most. So, like, sometimes when you say a chant like that, it feels like you're dreaming for a future that you want so badly and that you've been taught to fear so much. You've been taught to fear the retribution and the anger and the hatred that a people you've been oppressing has towards you, but just makes you want to say it louder.
After our conversation on Zoom, Sarah went to the protest on campus, the Solidarity Encampment for Gaza, that was taking place on the McCosh Quad. And at the time, there were 60 students who had set up tents. Campus police began issuing warnings, take down the tents or risk being arrested. At 7:07, the campus police began disassembling the tents, and two students were arrested, and then...
Comrades are currently being evicted.
Yes! Yes!
By 1 p.m., over 150 students had joined the protesters, and their demands included divestment from the State of Israel. You're listening to Inspired by Interfaith Voices. Stay with us. Hi, friends. I hope you're enjoying the show so far. I just want to say thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of our community. I don't know if you know this, but we are on the air all the way from Richmond, Virginia to Ketchikan, Alaska, and in so many places in between. We're a national show, and we are a small and mighty team committed to bringing you stories and sounds from around the world that convey not only the diversity and the pluralism of our country, but the beliefs that are shaping our world, our politics, our culture, and the ideas that sustain us and inspire us to think about where we are going. And that brings me to this question. If you value us, if you enjoy listening and appreciate what you're hearing, I want to ask you to take a moment to consider becoming a sustaining member of Interfaith Voices or make a one-time donation at interfaithradio.networkforgood.com. That's interfaithradio.networkforgood.com. Thank you, and let's get back to the show.